Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is really cool. This is like a Freedom Friday on a Wednesday on this Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas to every single one of our Montana Talks listeners out there. Man, I got this email in here, and all of a sudden my computer's giving me some challenges here as I try to pull this thing up here. I got a great email here. This came from the Big Fork VFW post 4042. I don't know if you guys saw the news that I shared over the weekend, President Donald J. Trump approving an emergency disaster declaration for Northwest Montana, Lincoln County in particular, and also the Blackfeet Reservation. Following these big storms that we had here recently, and especially the flooding impacts, you know, bridges being wiped out in Libby. We're going to talk a little bit about Libby here later this hour of the show. Lisa Goodman with Love, Inc., Love in the Name of Christ of South Lincoln County, is going to be back on the show with us. We had a couple of great conversations with her earlier in the year. You know, she drove to Columbia Falls and joined us live on the radio during our Governor's Cup coverage and kind of introduced us to Love, Inc. of South Lincoln County and talking about the big needs that existed in Libby even prior to the floods that we just saw take place. And then, of course, now Libby got hit by all these floods. So we're going to catch up with Lisa Goodman here later this hour of this show. And then we got a few great guests that are joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show as well. But speaking of Libby, this is the email that I got. I mentioned in this story about President Trump approving the emergency disaster declaration. I was chatting with Cowboy Bill Miles, who is the state VFW chaplain here in Montana, and he is forward deployed to Libby to help out with the flood response as well. And he was telling me, man, it's so great. The Whitefish VFW post, the Kalispell VFW post, the Big Fork VFW post, all stepping up to help out the folks in need in Libby. And then I just got this message from Ron Wenzel, who is the quartermaster for Big Fork VFW Post 4042, including some great photographs of their crew in action, helping out with the folks in Libby. In fact, he not only shared photos, but he shared the message from Libby VFW Post 1548 Commander Sharp. During hard times, community matters. As our community continues to navigate challenging times, we want to share a glimpse of what the VFW has been doing behind the scenes, and more importantly, to say thank you. Over the past weeks, a semi-truckload of water was delivered to support the American Red Cross. VFW posts from across Montana stepped up, donating their time, resources, and manpower to help Libby. VFW National providing critical support to ensure the doors stay open, allowing us to continue serving veterans, families, and the community when it matters most. As we move into this holiday season, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. May it bring moments of peace, warmth, and hope, and a reminder that you are not alone. From all of us at VFW Post 1548, thank you for standing with us. And a big thanks to Ron Wenzel with the Big Fork VFW Post 4042 for sharing that message and those photos. We got a great guest coming up right after this. Stand by.
It's December 24th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Eggnog Day. Traditionally created with milk and or cream, sugar-whipped eggs, which helps it gain its frothy texture and sometimes mixed with spirits. You can celebrate by sipping by the fireplace or the kitchen table with family or friends. Today is also Christmas Eve, as Christians around the world prepare to celebrate for the birth of Jesus Christ, as well as welcome a visit from Santa Claus from the North Pole. The Soviet Union invades Afghanistan in 1979, where they met fierce resistance from fighters called the Mujahideen. Way back in 568, the Byzantine church Hagia Sophia in Constantinople is dedicated for the second time after being destroyed by earthquakes. Born on this day in San Juan, Puerto Rico, singer Ricky Martin. I'm CJ Papa. That's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we've got some great Christmas Eve guests that are going to be joining us here later in the show, especially coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. But we also want to get into some of the big news of the day, some of the hard news of the day as well. In fact, great guest now with us on the phone lines. He's the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You guys know the name very well, John Lott Jr., of course, who's been a prominent author and spokesperson when it comes to defending your Second Amendment rights for decades now. Now lives in Montana, of course. Been back for a few years now. But John Lott, great to have you back with us here on Montana Talks. And Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Oh, Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for sneaking us in today. I know we wanted to get you on the show last week, but we were just, it was such a packed lineup that we couldn't sneak in. So it's great to have you today. But you had a recent guest opinion column at thefederalist.com. There is no evidence Australia's strict gun control laws are effective. We all saw on the at the start of Hanukkah our Jewish friends targeted with this horrific mass shooting by these radical Islamists down in Australia. But frankly, we've seen, you know, just horrific anti-Semitism here in America as well. And yet, what's the response in Australia? They're trying to push more gun control.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's this claim made by people around the world, not just Australian politicians, but Democrats in the United States and places from the New York Times to the Washington Post, that Australia's gun confiscation that they had in 1996 and 97 was a success. They claim it cut things like firearm homicides by 50%, almost as large reduction in firearm suicides. And it's just statistical malpractice. It relies on a simple before and after comparison in the rates. But the problem is that can be extremely misleading. Give you a simple example. Let's say you had a line that was perfectly straight, falling over the entire period that you have there. Any point that you picked along that line, the after average is going to be below the before average. Well, you look at it and you see it's falling at exactly the same rate before and after whatever law changed. It's pretty hard to look at that and say, well, it had some impact. What you want to do is say, does it fall at a faster rate or a slower rate? Is there some discontinuity that occurs in the line when the law changes there? And in the case of Australia, you see nothing good that happened there. Firearm homicides and firearm suicides were falling for 15 years prior to the confiscation that occurred in 96 and 97. And then for homicides, firearm homicides actually stopped falling. For firearm suicides, it fell, but at a much slower rate than it was beforehand. So you look at these things, if anything, it seems counterproductive. But it's more than that, and that is, you just don't want to look at something like firearm suicides or firearm homicides. You want to look at what happened to total suicides and total homicides, because there's other ways that people could commit suicide, for example. And what you find, if you do that, is that when the confiscation occurred, total suicides actually went up by 20%. Now, I'm not going to go and argue that banning, you know, certain types of guns or confiscating them caused suicides to rise, but it sure as heck is inconsistent with the notion that it was helpful in terms of getting it to drop. And the same thing is true with firearm homicides. Total homicides actually went up after you had the confiscation there. So, you know, it's pretty hard to go and argue that these were benefits. And then there's one final problem with it, and that is they end up confiscating about 30% of the guns. But people were allowed to go and buy guns again. By 2010, the gun ownership rate in Australia was above what it was prior to the confiscation. Well, if that's true, then what you should see is an immediate sharp drop in these things you're looking at, like firearm homicides or suicides. And then over time, an increase as the gun ownership rate increased. And you see nothing even remotely similar to that. As I say, news basically stopped falling at the time when you had the confiscation.
Grossly misleading statistics was how you phrased it at thefederalist.com in this piece. Back to the Bondi Beach terror attack, which, of course, you referenced in this piece. One of the videos that really stood out to me following that horrific attack was here you have this radical Islamist with a long rifle shooting at people. Finally, this heroic man in the white T-shirt just goes up and wrestles the rifle away from the guy. And that's what it took for a good guy to have a gun to stop a bad guy with a gun. But imagine if good guys actually had guns in Australia to stop these radical Islamists.
Right. Well, I mean, we had the Brown University shooting that occurred the same day. And the one common feature that had with the Australian case is that civilians were banned from being able to go and carry guns for protection. And, you know, anybody who reads the diaries or manifestos for these mass murderers know that time after time after time, they write about and explain why they pick the targets that they do. Now, the media refuses to cover this.
That's right. Because they don't want people to know that overwhelmingly these mass shootings take place in so-called gun-free zones. John Lott Jr., hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here. Back with John Lott Jr. We're going to talk more Second Amendment issues, et cetera, look into the year ahead in 2026 and what's taking place this past year as well. So lots to talk about. Back right after this.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have John Lott Jr. with us here on the show once again. And by the way, John, we will be back at the SHOT Show in Las Vegas coming up in January of 2026. I know we've gotten to catch up with you there. If you are going to be back at the SHOT Show again, open invite to come join us on the show anytime. I think we're going to be doing 3 or 4 days of live coverage from the SHOT Show right there on Media Row. But, yeah, I want to get John's take on, you know, everything that's going on under the sun with regard to, you know, pro-gun rights legislation, or on the flip side, anti-gun rights legislation that was pushed in 2025, what he thinks will be pushed coming up in 2026. Plus, I saw that Senator Steve Daines is now calling on the U.S. Department of Justice to step up when it comes to the $200 National Firearms Act tax on certain items and weapons and firearms. They've done away with the tax thanks to the One Big Beautiful Bill, but why are they still keeping up the registration? Senator Daines is saying, look, we told you to do away with the tax and the registration. John Lott Jr., we could start there, or if you want to talk more about your Federalist piece first, feel free, take us whichever direction you want to go.
Well, I mean, they're both important topics. Look, I mean, the last point I was just going to make on the issue of gun-free zones is that these mass murderers may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. And they tell us what they're trying to do and why they pick the targets that they do. You know, their goal overwhelmingly is to commit suicide, but they want to do so in a way that people will know that they were here. They want their names in news articles and history books. And they know if they go to a place where they can kill more people, they'll get more media coverage. And they know if they go to a place where their victims aren't able to defend themselves, they're going to be able to go and kill more people and get more media coverage. And so, you know, you take the September attack at the Minneapolis Catholic school there. That individual in his diary there explicitly explained that he wanted to go to a place that banned guns. In fact, it wasn't just that he was picking that school because of that, but the time of day. He didn't want to go in the morning when parents were dropping off their kids at school, or in the afternoon when they're picking them up, because he was worried that there might be a parent there who had a permanent concealed handgun. So he picked the middle of the day at a school where he knew people didn't have guns for protection. And it's one of my biggest pet peeves, but the media will go and say, well, he talked about other school shooters, or he talked about other mass public shooters. And that's true. But the reason why he talked about them was from what he learned from them on what to do and where to attack. And all he was talking about was that he had learned from them to go to gun-free zones. And that's what you see, but the media just absolutely refuses to go and mention that at all, even though it's obvious that they've read the manifesto or diaries, because they say, you know, he talked about other school shooters. My guess is the whole gun control debate that we have right now would be dramatically different if they would mention that in the news stories, or they would go and say, you know, 92%, we've had yet another mass public school shooting or mass public shooting in a place where guns are banned.
Yeah, well, and that reminds me, you know, one of the good news stories this year here in Montana, of course, you know, our friend Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, you've both been a big part of the, you know, Montana Shooting Sports Association meetings over the years. He implemented this school safety plan where not only do they have, deputies that might be in these schools wearing a uniform, openly carrying, but they also have other good guys with guns in the schools operating in a covert manner, and it's all synced in with an instant alert notification system between school officials and local first responders. And that's huge what he's doing right there to stop this nonsense from happening in the very first place. The Babylon Bee, of course, a satirical website, had this headline going back to the Australia a radical Islamic shooter there. Australian man who wrestled gun away from terrorist charged with unlawful firearm possession. Now, obviously, that's satire. That didn't happen. But again, there's a state in Australia that's what they're doing. They're doubling down with more gun control, even though all the gun control in Australia didn't prevent this from happening.
Right. Well, I mean, you have the whole country, the federal legislature there is considering new gun control. And right now they're thinking of limiting people's number of guns you can have to 5. You know, this individual had 6 guns. It's not really obvious to me whether he had 4 guns or 3 guns or 5 guns, whether it would have made any difference in the attack that was there. But, you know, unfortunately, in part because of this myth that we were talking about before the break, about people believe that the gun control that they've had up till now somehow was beneficial. You know, they think, well, maybe more of the same would be great.
Yeah. A few minutes here before we get to our 35 break. What have you seen that's been good, especially with the Trump administration and the Republican Congress, when it comes to pro-gun rights legislation? I mentioned the One Big Beautiful Bill. They're finally doing away with this $200 National Firearms Act, this NFA excise tax. But now Senator Daines and others are calling on the DOJ to end the registration regime that remains. So some good, right. some good stuff accomplished, but some more that work that needs to be done as well.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess I don't have this quite the same view that the senator has there. Look, I know the whole point. point of having the registration was to enforce the tax, and with the tax gone, there's no reason to have the registration anymore. And I agree with that. But the problem is, do you just want the administration to stop it now and maybe a Democratic administration that comes on in the future reinstate that? What you want to try to do is to get the case to the Supreme Court. And if you you're a lawyer, if you stop enforcing the law, then it becomes moot, okay? And you can't have a case there, okay? So what you want to do, and Democrats did something similar with the Defense of Marriage Act, which the Obama administration enforced all the way up to the Supreme Court, where they reversed their stand at that point. Because if they had stopped enforcing, there wouldn't have been a case to get up to the Supreme Court. And you want it to get up to the Supreme Court so you can have some final, you know, decision that's made on that.
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting. Because what I think Senator Daines and Representative Andrew Clyde out of Georgia are arguing is hey, the Justice Department doesn't need to defend this indefensible registration. Just like the previous Trump Justice Department would not defend some other things that they didn't want to defend. But your point, you know, makes a lot of sense as well. Is wait a minute. No, we want this to continue moving forward so that the Supreme Court can shoot it down once and for all. And then, like you say, another administration down the road can't just pick up where they left off.
Right. So, you know, the issue is, do you get some short-term gain by just them, you know, not enforcing it now, or do you get kind of a longer-term gain there by letting it kind of move up through the courts? So anyway, that's
very interesting. No, that's very interesting. Wow, that's fascinating. A couple more minutes to go. What else do you see are the big, you know, pro-gun rights things that we need to be talking about in the year ahead in 2026? You still hear a lot of people saying, hey, let's get constitutional carry all across the land. In reality, we should have that through the Second Amendment already, but that's not the case. Should Congress codify something?
Yeah, well, I mean, unfortunately, that's not going to happen. I know the president, Trump, would sign that if it came to his desk. The problem is that the Democrats will filibuster it, and you only have 53 senators that are Republicans in the Senate there, and all the Democrats, every single one, will vote against reciprocity of any type, let alone constitutional carry across the states. You know, the irony is that you have states like Virginia, which essentially honor the permits or from all the other states in the country. There's no problem. There's no move, or there hasn't been any move even among the Democrats when they've controlled the state legislature there in the past and had a Democratic governor to undo that because there's been absolutely no problem. But yet the two Democratic senators from that state will vote against any type of reciprocity to make it kind of like a driver's license. Or once you have a permit, you're able to go and carry, you know, drive any place across the country. We have 29 constitutional carry states. It's worked out very well. People can go to our website at crimeresearch.org and see the research that we've done on what's happened to crime rates when they move there. But basically what's happened is that when you get rid of the fees that are there and make it so that, you know, if a woman's being stalked or threatened, she doesn't have to wait 60 days to be able to go and carry. You know, she may not be able to wait 60 days to protect herself.
That's right.
That you see drops in crime rates that occur as people are able to go and protect themselves and their families.
Well, John.
And so.
Yeah, great to catch up with you. I got to run to the hard break here. John Lott Jr., president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He also served at the Department of Justice in their Office of Justice Programs previously as well. John, great to have you on the show again. Merry Christmas. Hopefully we'll see you at the SHOT Show in January, if not before.
Yeah, I know. I think I'll be there, so I look forward to seeing you.
All right, Merry Christmas. Sounds good. Yeah, thank you again.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Home shoppers spend months and even years looking for the right home. But according to Zillow, most get quotes from only one mortgage lender. It's easy to follow a realtor's recommendation for where to get your mortgage. However, not shopping around can be a missed opportunity that could potentially cost you tens of thousands of dollars over the life of a loan. Realtor.com also found that shopping around for lenders can get you a mortgage rate over half of 1% lower than average, which could save you nearly $44,000 over the life of the mortgage if you purchased a median-priced home at $425,000. Improving your credit score and securing a larger down payment can also help, but these steps can take more time. The Federal Trade Commission also recommends getting quotes from several different mortgage lenders and making sure you know the terms of the lender and broker you may be working with so you're prepared to negotiate. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to sneak in a quick caller here wanting to weigh in on our previous conversation talking about the Australia shooting, gun control, and more. And then right after that, we got a great guest waiting in the wings on the phone lines for us here as well. Mike in Bozeman, thanks for calling in. What did you want to share with our statewide audience?
Two things. An observation that I have seen regarding that little 2.5-3 second news clip of the son of the that was doing the shooting with the bolt action rifle there in Australia. Did you notice how fast he was operating the action on that bolt gun and shooting, and knowing ahead of time, according to the news, that the father and the son had gone to one of the islands in Manila or in the Philippines, where they had been at an Islamic training session? Obviously, to me, that Islamic training session included how to kill people quickly with a bolt gun, and I bet you they had a firing range there where this guy was able to practice, because I consider myself handy with a bolt gun, but I know that I would not be able to shoot as smoothly and as rapidly as what he was doing with that bolt gun, because I'm used to shooting at prairie dogs, coyotes, and a deer, and I don't, you know, I count on taking my time and making sure my shots hit. But he's not only making sure his shots are hitting, but he's also shooting at about half rate of a semi-automatic rifle.
Well, and that points back
to nobody's talking about that.
And that points back to the immigration problem, because you're right. These radical Islamic mass shooting suspects also went to, you're exactly right, this island in the Philippines that is known for radical Islamic terrorists. And so, and this is the same Australia that banned the world's best tennis player, I think, at the time, or at least one of the most popular tennis players, from coming into Australia. But they allow these radical Islamists to come in and then go back and forth between other terrorist hotbeds. But they ban the tennis player from coming into Australia, and then they take guns away from the good people. Yeah, it's absolutely insane all around. Mike, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and yours. All right, we're going to switch tracks now. I might be able to get to another caller or two before we run out of time this hour of the show, but I definitely want to go next. We've got Lisa Goodman, who is with Love, Inc. of South Lincoln County, back with us here on the show, back with us on the phone lines. I was trying to think, man, what could we put together to try to do, you know, a little bit more of a Christmassy show, a little bit more of a Christmas Eve focused show. And so I thought, man, we got to get Lisa Goodman back on the show with us, because she's such a great spokeswoman for, you know, so many things. But I first got a chance to catch up with Lisa Goodman from Love, Inc. of South Lincoln County. Yeah, she came over, joined us on the show from Columbia Falls when we were there for the Governor's Cup golf tournament, doing the show from there. And then I caught up with her and her husband in Libby when we did our live show from Libby. Lisa, thanks for joining us back on Montana Talks. Appreciate it.
Oh, it is so great to be here. Merry Christmas to you and to your team and to the rest of our wonderful state.
Merry Christmas to you and yours as well. I know it's a little bit more of a challenging Christmas for our friends in Libby. You know, the reason I wanted to get you back on the show is because, you know, we talked about the fact that, look, Libby used to have 3,000 kids in the schools. Now they've got 1,000 kids in the schools. And we talked about the huge need for what you do, for love in the name of Christ in South Lincoln County, the huge need, financial need, housing needs, food needs, whatever those emergency needs might be. And you're meeting those needs through Love, Inc. But then now we have these massive floods go through Libby and Lincoln County as well. So I guess tell us what it's been like just in the past few weeks.
Wow. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for letting me be on your show, and thank you for your support on Love, Inc. As you know, Love, Inc. is a movement that we're hoping and praying builds across our state. Bozeman, shout out to Bozeman and Billings and Lewistown, who have been functioning with Love, Inc. for even longer than Libby has. And now Helena is going to get on board as well. So for those of your listeners who aren't familiar with Love, Inc., Love, Inc. is part of a national movement that is basically helping churches help people. We operate a connection center where people can call in, express their need in confidentiality, and then we look to our churches and our ministries and our volunteers and say, how can we help this person? And then we offer classes that build them. So thanks for your support of Love, Inc., and yes, we agree that Love, Inc. is needed and is really ready to step in. So as far as our community goes, it has been a ride, Ellen. Aaron, I said Ellen.
Oh, that's all right.
Merry Christmas. It has been a ride.
It's vacation time, so go into vacation mode.
Yeah.
That's fine. Yeah.
I was not prepared for the flood until my very best friend calls me at 5:30 in the morning. And at 5:30 in the morning, I am not coherent. She's telling me that their place is flooding and there's sandbags. And I just said, okay, hung up. Took me about 5 minutes to go, oh, we got to go. And so I think that's how the flooding started for everyone. And there's been a huge outpouring from the flooding. As yes, your question that you wanted me to address, I kind of just lost it. Help me out here.
So, well, I guess just tell us what. So I kicked off the show. I got a great message from the Big Fork VFW post. And there's guys like Cowboy Bill Miles from the Kalispell VFW and folks from the Kalispell VFW post and the Whitefish VFW post that have been in Libby helping out, providing resources and things like that as well, which is so great to see, and especially looking out for the veterans. And so
yeah.
I thought, tell us what kind of things, what needs need to be met, especially right now following the flooding, or what needs are you meeting in the last a couple of weeks?
Awesome. Yes, I sat down before I talked with you, and I just started writing down things that I've seen happening around our community in a very relational way. And I was privy to, there was a truckload from Kalispell that just showed up at the church. I tend to live with them. They've got church, and they just showed up. They had water and food, and they were coming down from Kalispell, and our neighbors have been just helping in so many different ways. Some of the fun stories that don't hit the media, there's a family that's stranded behind a bridge that's out. It takes them now, they got some back roads for the National Forest Service cleared. It takes them about an hour and a half now to get to town. Really sketchy road. So they're going to stay put. And for the Christmas program, she had all of the angel costumes for the kids at the church at her house. And from what I hear, our pastor got on his horse and rode to get them for the program and bring in boxes across the little sketchy ladder bridge that they've put up to get the food to them. So there are still people out in the surrounding area who are out of electricity up in the mountains. Then, of course, with many of our bridges out, it has been difficult to reach all the people in need. So that's been a fun challenge, but we are seeing people just step in and help relationally in lots of different ways, from sandbagging to bringing in pizza to the school district is providing large water containers for people to fill from the well that they have that's operating and functional. You know, even Gianforte getting emergency release funding into our community that's going to help with our structure, our infrastructure, and people are in people's houses. They're dropping off generators to homes, and it's just amazing to see the community coming together in really unique, beautiful ways.
That's incredible. I can just picture that pastor on that little ladder bridge crossing a river to deliver food and supplies to parishioners that are stranded because of the flooding. And, you know, people, they love to live in remote Montana, but you're talking real remote now when you get bridges that get washed out and everything. Yeah, and Lisa mentioned Governor Gianforte. Of course, I got to say a big shout-out and thank you to Denise Soprinsky with the Gianforte Family Foundation, because I know their organization funds so many incredible programs. I thought, hey, who would be some good programs to feature, some good folks to get on the show for a special Christmas Eve show? And we're going to have a couple of them join us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour of the program. About a minute to go before the next break here. Lisa Goodman, Love, Inc. of South Lincoln County. What could you need? What do the people of Lincoln County need right now in particular?
I think there's a lot of funding coming in. People are bringing in supplies. What we're finding is that the people who really need those supplies are often the ones that don't speak up. They say, oh, let it go to someone who needs it more. And so the frustration is that the supplies come in and we don't know where to find people. It's really neighbors helping neighbors that alerts us to who has the need. And so when we're working with people as these things are coming in, we need people here on the ground who know the people who can then connect us to who actually has the need. Like a lady yesterday who lost all her Christmas presents. We connected through Love Inc. Businesses provided for that. But we have, she needs dirt to come in. People, they need trees removed. They need molding issues, drying up their carpets and their wood. And all of those things have come in with the flooding and then with electric power. All of the help has been really appreciated.
All right, hold that thought. We got to hit this hard break, and then we'll come back right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Record-setting mass unvetted illegals between 2021 2023. Cases of worst-case needs remained elevated at 8.46 million households. And foreign-born population in the U.S. increased by more than 6 million, the largest increase over such a short period of time. And it goes on to say, you know, it stands at more than 53 million individuals, making up the highest share of the American population ever, foreign-born, what they're talking about. This immigration-driven increase in households contributed to a significant increase in housing demand, driving up housing prices.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you've heard me talk about Ease, the official health solution, right here on the Sean Hannity Show. Now that all the noise about Obamacare subsidies is thankfully behind us, at least for now, I want you and your family to focus on the best health care for the best price. Now, Ease Total Comprehensive Health is great for small business owners, and it also is better coverage for a lower price than what they're offering from the government. It's not insurance, it's better. It has no deductibles, no out-of-network nonsense. It costs much less than traditional plans. It comes with a free service that will help everyone find the best care, plus the folks that distribute. Ease will show you how to stay compliant with the ACA. Now, if you own or work for a small business, you got to check out this company. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family. You owe it to your employees. Call them now, 888-888-EASE-123, or go to their website, EASEFOREVERYONE.com/Sean. 888-EASE-123.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. It's an Xtina Xmas. Christina Aguilera's holiday special titled Christmas in Paris is out now on Paramount Plus, following a premiere in theaters earlier this month. It celebrates the 25th anniversary of Aguilera's My Kind of Christmas album, which reached number 28 on the Billboard 200 in its peak. The hour-long program features live performances in front of the Eiffel Tower and more. Lady Gaga fans are getting a Christmas gift. The singer is announcing her concert film, Lady Gaga in Harlequin Live, One Night Only, will arrive on YouTube 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Christmas Eve. The movie was recorded in September of 2024 at the Belasco Theater in downtown Los Angeles, where she performed the full Harlequin album for a small group of fans. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Christmas.
tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was chatting more with Lisa Goodman off air here, and Lisa, you made such a very important point with regard to the recent flooding that came through Libby and Lincoln County, and it ties in with the big conversations. Part of the reason why I wanted to get you back on the show here as we wrap up 2025 is, you know, if we want to help people in Libby and in Lincoln County that are struggling, we need to make our timber industry great again. We need to make our mining industry great again. We need these high-wage job opportunities. That's how we're really going to help people for the long haul. And so you and I talked about that, and your husband jumped in on the conversation as well, which is incredible. He's the superintendent of schools there. But you were talking about, you know, as we discussed forest management previously, there's a forest management angle to the recent floods as well.
Yeah, I really believe there is. I believe one of the big problems we had is we have so many trees that when the ground didn't freeze, because everything was warm this year, we got saturated with the nonstop rain. So the trees were all rooted in muck. And as they started coming down, they just came out by the roots and they would pile on top of each other. And it's just a big tangled mess. And so part of, I believe, the solution for our forest is that forest management. We need to take care of what is there, not just as a resource, but also as good citizens taking care of the forest. They're just overgrown and dead.
And then now, because we've had a lack of forest management, especially on the federal lands, and then a flood comes through, and then winds come through and knock down a lot of trees. Well, now you're going to have a lot of dead trees laying on the ground. If we don't get them out of there, once things dry out, you've got a greater fire threat waiting for you when fire season comes around as well.
I believe so. It'll be interesting to see how it works out this year. And we also don't even know how many bridges are out in the forest and what the trees look like in our forest come spring, summer. It will be interesting to see the play out from the storms.
Do you have a favorite Christmas memory or a favorite Christmas tradition that you guys do or a memory from being a kid or anything like that? For me, I loved the candlelight service at night. I remember going to a candlelight mass with my grandma in Summers back in the day. And then, because my grandma on my dad's side was Catholic, and then my grandma on my mom's side was Lutheran. And I remember being at the First Lutheran Church in Glasgow, and it was so cold, but it was like you could hear a pin drop because it was so quiet and peaceful and serene. So I love those candlelight services. What about you?
I love candlelight services, too, and we'll be going to one tonight. One of my favorite memories of raising my children here in Libby is getting a Christmas tree. We get about a 14-foot tree every year, and when we go cut it down, we usually build a bonfire, and we roast summer sausage on a stick in little chunks over our bonfire. And
oh, that's awesome.
Something we've done with our family for years.
I can picture your husband dressed up like Clark Griswold for the trip, too.
Oh, he's pretty capable. Oh, yes. And yes, we definitely do our own.
That's great. You probably got snowed in Circle a time or two as well.
Frozen. We were the chosen frozen when we were in Circle. That was cold. Yes.
I can feel that one for sure. All right. Well, Lisa Goodman, Merry Christmas to you and yours. Thanks so much for all you do. And then about 20, 30 seconds to go here. If people want to get a hold of you, provide support to Love Inc., especially during these this post-flooding time, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yes, well, we really appreciate any financial year-end support for any of our Love Inks across the state, whether it's in Libby, Lewistown, Billings, Bozeman. It's just a great movement. So loveinkslc.com online for Libby. And if you're trying to find your Love Ink, go to the Love Ink national website, loveinc.org, and find your local Love Ink. All donations go to a really great cause. So thanks for that, and God bless you guys. Thanks for what you do.
God bless you as well. Thank you so much for your time. All right, we've got some more great guests joining us coming up in the 9 o'clock hour as we're live with you here on Christmas Eve. Stand by.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.